And welcome back to the Constitutionals Podcast. I'm your host, Chad White. If you didn't know, this is the premier podcast for the website, cpluscomedy.com. Like I just said, it's a website. Go there. I'm sorry. I was doing a little bit of housekeeping as I was loading up this show, which is insane that I had to do that because I linked a story on Friday. I didn't do that. Full disclosure. This is coming out 3 days late. I linked a story on Friday, and then I just went, all right, well, it's linked inside of the Notion page that I create. Turns out I didn't link it. So, anyway, that's what I'm dealing with right now. And we'll be moving on from that very soon. Welcome back, Constitutionals 285. This is the podcast for the website, cpluscomedy.com. Like I just said, it's a website. Go there. I'm your host, Chad White. What's been going on? Nothing's coming up. I got nothing. I got nothing going on. This is just a story of my life. I just realized that I was on Adam Tickets, and I was looking up Adam Tickets, if you don't know what Adam Tickets is. It is a movie ticket purchasing platform that you can use to buy tickets for movies. Hold on, let me see if I can share this screen. So, there it is. You can see I was also listening to SiriusXM at some point. There's Adam Tickets. Let me get rid of this. I guess this is the type of show this is going to be from now on, is that I share things from the internet. This is Adam Tickets if you're watching the video, and you can go here, go to your favorite theaters, and you can buy tickets. Oh, I can go to Landmark Midtown Art Cinema, AMC Madison Yards, all these other places I can buy tickets, whatever. Or go to, and you can buy a ticket to, anyway, Godzilla versus Kong is coming out. And I thought that it was coming out in May. And now I'm excited to go to this movie come Friday morning. Unfortunately, I have to wait. I can't go next Tuesday. So, why not go Friday morning? Just like when I saw, what was the last movie I saw? Day two? Oh, Dune. It was Dune. Day two. Because now movies release on Thursdays. Day two that movie came out, I went and saw it at noon. Spent the money. Got a popcorn. Also took some popcorn home. Oh, it was fantastic. I always want to spend enough money to where I get enough points to get $5 off again. So just like, there's just a constant $5 off over and over again. You got to be smart about how you get the points. Get the points. Constitutionals. What else is going on? I started a show called Physical 100. I don't want to talk about things I'm watching. I finished a book. Last year I finished like 14 books, I think. It's either 12 or 14. This year I want to do 20. But it's not really a backstory, but I saw that there was a show coming out on Netflix called Three Body Problem. And I did not see the trailer. The only thing I knew about it was I got an email in C+ Comedy that said that show was coming out. And I went, okay, that's very interesting. And all I saw in the press release was aliens and Earth. And I was like, let me check out this book. I don't know what it was, but it was so interesting to me. So I never even saw a trailer. I didn't see a trailer until yesterday. The show came out on Wednesday or Thursday. And I decided that prior to last week, this all happened within like 10 days. I said, I'm going to read the book. Got the book. I finished it on Friday. And then I said, okay, I'm going to start the show. I have not started the show yet. That never happens usually when I'm like, oh, this is something based on a book. Let me just check it out. Check out the show or movie or whatever. And then now the show's out. I saw a trailer yesterday and they changed so much. They added so much. The book is the most sciencey. Let me turn myself down because I see I am peaking. The book is the most sciencey book I've ever read. my entire life. I finished Project Hail Mary and The Martian, both by Andrew Weir, who is one of the nerdiest dad writers in the world I've ever had the pleasure of reading. And those books are great. This one, and I mean, and they're approachable with this science. This one, oh my gosh, you blink and you miss, or you stop listening and you miss it. You stop paying attention for 2 seconds, and you're like, what is this? What's going on? All these things, trisolarins, protons folding in on each other. Oh my gosh, and it's so strange. I was on Vox yesterday. That's what I do. I still read news when I am not, like, when it's my weekend time, I'm still reading news. But I was reading Vox yesterday, and I saw they put out an article that was talking about three body problem, the science behind it, and it's all mostly factual science stuff that is being studied today. This book came out in the early 2000s. It's mind blowing how people can do research for a show or for a movie and then put that stuff inside of the project. It's crazy to me. I loved it. It's a good book. And we're getting, so I was close to finishing it, and I went, this limited series, I just assumed, I went, whoa, this is going to be a great limited series or whatever. I get close to finishing it. And then I'm on my library app, Hoopla, and I see that there are two other books in the series. And I just went, oh my God, now I got to go and check these other books out. So I got to do the internet version. What? All right. So there's something wrong with Notion, and it just seems to be wanting to connect over and over again. So I'm just making Chrome bigger instead of having Notion open. All right, let's get into this first story. You have to excuse me. I might sniff every couple of minutes. I did off mic. My allergies are acting up. I did take a pill this morning. Oh, it was Viagra. It's so stupid. Oh, okay. I got this one's locked behind a paywall. Okay. You ain't gonna trick me. This first one comes from The Wrap. Written by Natalie Korak. USA Today publisher Gannett is going to drop Associated Press content across all publications. Associated Press is basically this, how do I put this? Neutral website where you can get just straight up news. And a lot of publications that you read or watch, everything from CNN and Fox News to New York Times, to what used to be USA Today, your local news, every single one of them uses Associated Press for stories that they just don't have the bandwidth to cover. So like if CNN and Fox News are on the website in particular, if CNN and Fox News are not able to cover, if they're covering Kate Middleton's cancer, and they're not able to cover, what's a smaller story? Like a train derailment in Berlin because they don't have people in Berlin. Then they can just, they subscribe to the Associated Press, AP, and they are able to use that to publish that story on their websites. That's how that works. Now, it costs money. Again, this is a subscription. Just like how they, there are some, you can Getty Images, yeah, you can subscribe to that. There's Reuters, CNN. When I was at CNN, we used Reuters video all the time. That's a subscription. They would use Reuters video, you know, if there was a bombing that was happening in Gaza and we were doing a story on Gaza right there, and then they would get a video producer to cut the clip that just happened live, and then they would just throw it on air. That's truly how broadcast news work. Broadcast and cable news work is that we see there's 5,000 TVs on, and we see something happening on that TV that has Reuters or AP or a different network. We have something that happens on MSNBC. We have something that happens on regular NBC. We're like, bam. How do they get that? Let's see if we can get that too. Now, Gannett is a publisher of USA Today and tons of local newspapers, as well as they're partnered with here in Atlanta, to the very least, WXIA, who I used to work with, the NBC affiliate here. So they have a ton of affiliates and things of that nature. And this will be, and this is starting this week. So this is going to be a, what Natalie writes, is a significant blow to the not-for-profit wire service collective that still relies on memberships for revenue. I didn't know they were not-for-profit. Interesting. So Gannett's going to eliminate AP dispatches, photos, and video as of March 25th, the day of this publishing and this recording, according to an internal memo from Chief Content Officer Kristen Roberts, obtained by The Wrap. We create more journalism every day. Oh, Jesus. We create more journalism every day than the AP. Okay. Roberts said Tuesday in a statement, adding that not paying for AP content will, quote, give us the opportunity to redeploy more dollars toward our teams and build capacity where we might have gaps. I don't think she's wrong there in the second half of that statement. It's talking about how this is going to free up more capital, but it really depends on how you actually use that capital. Are you really going to pay people more money to do more reporting? And now, that being said, the we create more journalism part than AP, I don't think that's true. I have one RSS feed reader that I use every single day to gather all of my news from the sources that I choose, and I read through those stories. And then I also use, in conjunction with that, Google News, and Google News gets me stories from other outlets that I tend to not really want to read. See, comic book news resources, like, I don't know who that is, and I don't know if what they're saying is true. But more often than not, I see a USA Today article, and it's always like, I watch this so you don't have to, or I think it's wrong. It's always a first person thing with way too long of a headline. Sometimes I'll say this in a positive light, there are stories that I do want to follow, but the website's so atrocious and it looks ugly and it's unusable, and there are pop-ups all over the place, and it just makes me not want to click on that. So I don't understand this we create more journalism every day when everything seems to be opinionated and editorialized. It doesn't make sense to leave the Associated Press, which is easy to say, hey, there's a train derailment in Berlin and we don't have anyone to cover that. How are we going to get this story? Because we're going to get everything secondhand from this point forward. It just doesn't make sense for them to want to back off of that. The news ends a deep and decades-long relationship between the world's largest news organization and the nation's largest newspaper publisher. For years, editors at the AP generated items for USA Today's famous, quote, news from around our 50 states page. AP news, reviews, and photos have been a staple of Gannett's own local morning and afternoon editions for generations. This is a blow to them because, again, Gannett is one the biggest newspaper publisher, but I don't know if people are really picking up USA Today's left and right. Now, this other story comes from Benjamin Mullen and Katie Robertson over at the New York Times. Along with Gannett, McClatchy is cutting back on their relationship as well. McClatchy is another newspaper chain that based in the United States. I'm looking for... they have the McClatchy, they're right, which the hedge fund Chatham Asset Management bought out of bankruptcy in 2020. I mean, come on, that tells you where we are with print journalism in the first place. You know, it just doesn't. Anyway, in 2020, told its editors this week that it would stop using some AP services next month. McClatchy operates around 30 newspapers, including the famed Miami Herald and the famed Kansas City Star, as well as a bureau in Washington, D.C. In an email sent on Monday, Kathy Vetter, McClatchy's senior vice president of news and audience, said the AP's feed would end on March 29th and that no AP content would be published after March 31st. She said, however, that McClatchy would continue to use AP's election results data. In a quote, Vetter says, "We will no longer pay millions for content that serves less than 1% of our readers. In most cases, we have found replacements. However, we are still working on universal solutions for Wires content." And that's another thing. Wires are basically small headline stories that AP has going at all times. So they'll tell you about the train derailment, and then they'll eventually put out the full story. The subscriptions are very costly for these small publications, but you know, when it comes to publishing news and just being objective, I think it's important to keep in mind that AP was really a major source when it comes to how news is developed and reported on. I applied to a job at AP here based in Atlanta years ago, and I did not get it, but they did interview me, which I thought was, again, still very strange. I think AP is, for what the cost is for these companies, it is something that can be something that it is something. Let me say it. It is a tool that can be used, that can be overused, that can be something that they rely on too much, or that can be underutilized. And again, as the McClatchy person said, it serves less than 1% of our readers. However, when you're taking stories out of your newspaper, the newspaper is already thin enough, and you're doing a daily or morning and afternoon print, you're going to lose out on how, I don't know what the replacements were that she was talking about, but you're going to lose out on just genuinely solid reporting. I wonder if there are different tiers for AP News when it comes to subscriptions, because I don't know if a newspaper would need video along with the written word, but I mean, who knows in the end, but it's a loss for AP, because that is a way for them to generate some extra revenue. But if these two newspaper publishers, the biggest ones, are willing to drop AP because it costs, you know, six, seven figures in order for them to have this subscription. I don't think it's seven figures, but six figures for them in order to have the subscription. What does AP need to do in order to gain them back? And I'm not saying that AP needs to shift its focus to gain them back, but AP does need to do something in order to not have them lose the New York Times or the Washington Post or CNN or any other big publishers in those ballparks or broadcasters. All right, let's move on. This next one comes from IndieWire, written by Samantha Bergeson. Judd Apatow says it's scary Netflix can license HBO shows. It's cheaper than making new ones. Judd Apatow is no stranger to making TV shows. And we're now in this world of streamers that resemble cable networks and broadcast networks. Tubi and Pluto are the broadcasters. It's very true. Tubi and Pluto and Amazon Freevee are the broadcasters, and anything you pay for are the cable networks. Netflix, Peacock, Paramount Plus, they're all the cable networks. That's how I look at it in my mind. That's a very good way of putting it. And now in this world, you have to find value in your streamer. For let's go to Tubi and Pluto. For Tubi and Pluto, it is the acquisitions that they have. You can watch Becker. Becker on Pluto, I think. Ted Danson's Becker on Pluto. You can watch some HBO programming, not everything, on Tubi. You can watch Freakazoid on Tubi. You can go to, who has the critic? Someone has a critic that's on my iPad right now. But you can go to any one of these free platforms. I think it might be Tubi. You can go to any one of these free platforms and watch anything. Just and have ads, not anything, but they have ads, and they also have some original programming. I think there's like the Smoke Brothers, the High Brothers on Tubi or something like that. Pete Davidson, John Goodman, and Woody Harrelson. But then on the other hand, on the other foot, you pay for Netflix, Paramount Plus, Peacock, Max, and Apple TV. Well, let's take Apple TV out of the equation right now, because they don't really have acquisitions. With the exception of the past couple of weeks, they've been putting up movies like Failure to Launch and Titanic and some shows, and taking them down month after month for people who subscribe to Apple TV Plus. But when you go to something like Netflix or Paramount Plus or Peacock, and you see, yes, they have their own shows, and Hulu. That's the one I was trying to think of, and Hulu. And Disney Plus, they have their own, not Disney Plus, take Disney Plus out, but they have their own shows. And then they, alongside those shows, they have acquired shows like Seinfeld or Friends or Just Shoot Me. Couldn't think of another one. Couldn't think of another one for the life of me. That's called licensing. And a lot of when a show like Friends or Seinfeld goes to Netflix, it's a huge deal. It's because Warner or Sony or whomever owns the license to the show or the movie is just saying, hey, you have the rights to air this alongside us, so that it's just an easier way for a network to have more revenue to come in, more or less. So if Warner can say like, hey, we have Friends on Max, and we're also going to allow Netflix to have Friends. That way, people who don't have Max, who use Netflix as their primary thing, are still going to get Friends. So that's going to, let's say they charge Netflix $500. This is just a made up thing, but they charge Netflix $500 to have Friends. Netflix is going to get people signing up or staying just because of Friends. And they're going to continue watching Friends. And then for every view, then Max gets a little bit of that cut. There you go. That's the very, very rudimentary way to put it. So this has been happening since television has started, really. But there are some detractors, like Judd Apatow here, who is saying, hey, this is a very scary thing, because at some point it's going to be limiting content options, is what was written here. Which is no doubt cheaper than making new ones. And that's the fear, is that they're going to say, hey, they just want to watch Friends over and over, and Seinfeld and The Office over and over again. Let's not make new IP. Let's not make new anything and just keep churning out the same crap over and over again. I mean, we're probably going to get an Office reboot coming up here soon. Apatow says, I'm of two minds. There's a part of me that's an audience member. I'll go back and rewatch Deadwood or NYPD Blue or any of the David Milch shows. I understand why people like the comfort food of television, but it's a scary thing as a creator of television, because all the streamers going, wait a second, we don't need to spend $200 million on a new show. We can just bring back Barnaby Jones. And he's correct. They could just go and say, hey, we're going to do the Office reboot again. And it continues from this other part. We're going to bring back Parks and Rec. We're going to do another thing of a Fresh Prince. And do we really need all that? Apatow continued, they're going to do it. Then you'll get fewer new shows. They realize, oh, wait, Netflix can buy shows from HBO, and I would assume they're cheaper than making new ones. Then at some point, Netflix will sell its shows to HBO, and it'll be passing around all the episodes of Ballers for the rest of our lives. I never finished that quote. I was on my Netflix account. I always marvel at the fact that if I love a show, then I will buy it. I will buy it and have some version of it. I have four ways to watch the show Happy Endings All right. And that includes streaming. I have a DVD, Blu-ray, and I own it digitally. I think I might own it digitally twice. Not the entire show digitally twice. It's digitally once on, I believe, Vudu or iTunes. And then on the other one that's not Vudu or iTunes, it is a couple episodes. But anyway, I own it multiple ways over. And yet yesterday when I was cooking dinner, I turned on Hulu because it's just easier that way. Anyway. But if you can hear this dog barking outside my door, I'm telling you. But what's important is that when I look at my Netflix account, I see that everything on my queue, on my list, on my watch list, it has an N over it. It's a Netflix original, and I don't go to Netflix to rewatch things except for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend because it's a fantastic show. But I don't go to Netflix to rewatch things, and I just think periodically, they would never do this now, but I think periodically, wouldn't it be great if Netflix just stopped acquiring things and started producing their own stuff? If their name is not on it, then they shouldn't put it. They shouldn't have it on the platform. Obviously, that's not how things work, but I always think about that because I think I have like 40 or 50 things on my list. Yeah, I know. I have like 40 or 50 things on my list, and I would say 48 or 49 of them are all Netflix originals, with the exception of one or two movies and shows that you just can't find anywhere else that are on that platform. There, Apatow says, there are these corporate behemoths and people from the tech world as taking over creativity, and for some of them, not all of them, their intentions are just eyeball time online. And that, I mean, if you look at how, speaking of Netflix, if you look at how they renew shows, they only renew the things that, you know, get 20,000 viewers in the first 2 days or whatever. Just these made up figures that just don't really make for, is this show good or bad, or can it have longevity? He continues, I don't know if they're obsessed with quality filmmaking and the way other owners of these entities have been in the past. That's why they started calling it content. Correct. All of a sudden, they diminished it as much as they possibly could, as it possibly could be. I don't think it would be weird if you read something in that paper that Pornhub bought Paramount Plus. It's just a sad thing. This is why I don't use the word content. It's just a sad thing to see over and over again that we're getting less shows now. And, you know, John Landgraf talked about how for the past 10 years that we're getting closer and closer to peak content. And then this year he goes, peak content is over. And he's right. We're losing shows all the time now because, A, it costs too much to produce, and B, people just aren't watching as much as they used to. Anyway, you just take the risks and make something good that people want to watch over and over again. I like Judd Apatow. He doesn't put a lot of people of color in his work, and he's never made a show or movie about a person of color. But yeah, I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that piece of business. And finally, this comes from the Wall Street Journal, written by Isabella Simonetti and Robbie Whelan. ESPN boss Jimmy Pietro's chaotic race to remake the sports giant. ESPN is going to have a shifting tides this year. Disney's trying to spin it off into its own entity, and we've got two streaming products from it coming out this year. We've got ESPN, or not this year, I think that will be next year, ESPN's own streaming platform, which is not going to be ESPN Plus, which I don't understand why it's not, and then whatever they cook up with Warner Brothers and Fox. So we have those two things to look forward to, and they're going to be completely separate entities, at least for the time being. And now they're looking to we're putting ESPN stuff on ABC and some ABC sports stuff on ESPN. It's crazy. We're getting double we're getting double commentaries, basketball commentaries sometimes double. We're getting double football commentaries all the time. It's very interesting. Pietro is working on those two projects, and while also talking to the NFL about a lot of TV efforts when it comes to working with the NFL. Pietro has been around for 6 years at ESPN. He's 54 years old, and he wants to reinvent ESPN's business and fend off the biggest threats it faces in decades, which is streaming. Volatility in the media world forced Pietro to pursue multiple streaming strategies at once, despite the risk of keeping a powerful league partner in the dark. He's gambling that ESPN will build a big enough digital business to fill the financial hole being created as millions of Americans continue to cut the cable cord. Last year, Pietro struck a deal to launch ESPN Bet, a gambling app that is a departure for the family-focused Disney and a bid to draw new audiences. ESPN's workplace is volatile, too. There's the Pat McAfee stuff. There's Pat McAfee bringing on Aaron Rodgers and, you know, the F-words and stuff like that, and the S-words. You know, I'm just saying, like, vulgar language, YouTube, NFLer turned YouTube sensation on broadcast television and also YouTube. We've got ESPN's cable or shrinking down, just losing people because people are cutting the cord, cutting cable. And its fiscal year ended in September 30th, the first year Disney broke out of ESPN's financials. The division's revenue was up 2%, but profits fell 2%. In the past, ESPN had been the largest part of a media networks division, of the media networks division, whose profits steadily increased most years, making it the company's most reliable financial engine, especially compared to the more volatile movie business. Pietro, it seems as though he is, you know, oftentimes you hear about these CEOs and they don't seem to really understand that the part behind TV making and movie making, that stuff does come with things that aren't just businessy. And by that I mean, when you look at Bob Iger and you look at Bob Chapek, let's go to the parent company Disney. Bob Chapek was good at the business side, and which is smart because he came from the parks. But we look at Bob Iger and the issues he's dealing with now with Nelson Peltz and these activist investors and trying to fight for board seats and everything. He has the backing of who, like the Disney family themselves and other people working at Disney. He understands the heart of the matter as well as the business. He can go, this is how Disney Plus is going to work, and we're going to keep it the ship afloat. Whereas Chapek can launch the ship, but it won't really go as far because the sales aren't up. I don't know if that's how ships work. Pietro has been described as a relentless consensus builder. His willingness to admit that he doesn't know what has won over colleagues, said a former content executive. I mean, and that's what he has to be able to be humble. And he has to be able to say, this is not my forte. How can I understand this? Pietro likes to toss around a management motto, discuss, debate, decide, align. The idea is that no matter how thorny the issue, everyone eventually needs to get on the same page. Now, his critics, including some former staffers and associates, said the real world is rarely as neat as the model suggests, which is correct. You have people who refuse to align on some topics. He needs to be more forceful to get things done and has trouble saying no, including the talent, they said. Others said Pietro dwells too long on tough decisions, pointing to ESPN's years-long effort to find a partner in the sports wagering world in order to launch the ESPN Bet app. It just seems like he's a guy that if there are two types of leaders, and Bob Chapek was one, and then Bob Iger is another. It seems as though Pietro kind of leans towards the Iger side when the heart of the business, as opposed to the brains of the business. He's a big sports fan, which is great. He told Iger that sports have been the soundtrack to his life, which is he recalled in an interview in a Cornell publication, and that might be how he got the job. A big part of the job is managing cable TV business that's in decline, but whose profits are still critical for Disney. ESPN still generated $2.8 billion in operating income in 2023, a big reason the entertainment giant could sustain the $2.5 billion losses and the streaming unit that includes Disney+. But if the ratings are up 2% in 2023 and 8% the year before, they can't lose out on the people dropping cable and not being able to watch ESPN Monday Night Football or the Peyton Manning, the Manning cast rather, or Sports Center or whatever keeps people entertained on ESPN. I don't know. I haven't seen ESPN in a long time. So they're working on direct-to-consumer projects, which include the new version of ESPN streaming and whatever is happening with Warner and Fox. I wonder what that's going to be. That's, I mean, if the new ESPN streaming service is going to cost around $30 a month, but is that going to be included with the Fox and Warner thing, or is that going to be its own separate thing? It seems like it'll be included. It seems like you'll have the ESPN networks and then also the ESPN Plus stuff. It seems like that. Yes, it seems like that. Pietro called Roger Goodell shortly before the company's press release went out in regards to the Fox and Warner come-togetherness. Before the company's press release went out, which the NFL didn't see as a legitimate heads up, according to people familiar with the matter. Irritating the NFL, which decides which networks carry which games, can be a major ally for ESPN and the streaming business, which was risky. Disney executives said confidentiality agreements prevented them from sharing information about the sports joint venture with league partners. Pietro, who has made cultivating good relations with the NFL a priority during his tenure, sought to smooth things over in follow-up calls with Brian Rolapp, the league's top media executive. He emphasized that the new sports venture could reach a lot of people who don't subscribe to cable. It is, I you know, a lot of people, what they're missing here is they'll be missing, again, obviously for that sports venture, they'll be missing CBS, which has a lot of games. And they'll be missing NBC, which has Sunday Night Football. And they don't really need those two because there are other ways to watch those things, with the exception of Sunday Night Football. I don't know. Can you watch it on Peacock? I think you can. But there are two other ways to watch those, or you can just get NFL Sunday Ticket. Sunday NFL Ticket, is that what it's called? It's the business behind it feels and it appears to be correct. And it feels as though that the Warner and Fox and Disney, if by all accounts, know what they're doing with this release. But ESPN by itself, I can't see. The thing is options. People are going to have options. If they don't want the Fox and the Warner joint venture, then they can just go opt for ESPN and they'll be settled by that. But it's like splintering your viewership. Cause those people probably don't want to spend the $20 extra. And if they could, then maybe they will only do it for a certain amount of time. Cause the Fox and Disney and Warner venture is going to be upwards of $50. If ESPN by itself streaming is going to be $30, we're going to see a $50 price tag for the streaming service. I also wonder if, okay, so with, this is just an aside, with the streaming venture, with the sports streaming venture, we're going to see Fox Sports, so FS1, 2, soccer, all that stuff. We're going to see ABC, all the ESPN sister networks, plus SEC channel, ACC channel, all that stuff. And then we're going to see Warner, which now has brought over quite quickly, I might add, which they should have done 5 years ago. Baseball on True TV and hockey on True TV and TBS has its baseball, and then TNT. We're going to see all that. I wonder if that's also going to have an impact on Max, because you can also get Bleacher Report sports stuff, which is the TNT, the March Madness, all that stuff. You can get all of that on Max. They continue to talk about the McAfee incident that happened earlier this year, which, you, if you don't know, what's his name? Pat McAfee. I was going to say Brian McAfee. Pat McAfee. They spent $85 million to license that show on ESPN from YouTube. And McAfee is, for better or worse, a very boisterous, loud person. And then he, you know, there are some things that happened, which included Aaron Rodgers talking about Jimmy Kimmel, another Disney person, and how he might be on the list for the Lolita Express for Jeffrey Epstein, which is dangerous to say. A dangerous accusation. Anyway, the ratings are good for McAfee's show, if not lagging, apparently, behind First Take. I mean, First Take comes on in the morning. McAfee's show comes on in the middle of the day. It's two different things. But anyway, Pat McAfee said that executives are trying to take down his show, blah, 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 whatever, who cares. It was a whole big thing. I think everything's smooth over now. $85 million. I'm going to follow the rules. I don't care what happens. Someone purchases C-Plus Sky for $85 million. I'm going, what do you need? What do you need me to say? You need me to promote Guardians of the Galaxy 4? I would never do that. Now they have to go beyond sports. With this McAfee, bringing in McAfee and having this big YouTube personality on here, there are other ways in order to expand out of sports. You have someone like Stephen A. Smith who can host his own stuff on his own YouTube channel. Which is very important. You've also got to deal with things that happened in 2020, which for the first time, I mean, it is the I'd been watching, you know, ESPN for all of my teenage years, and never did race or sex or anything like that that happens on other news platforms and networks and channels and whatever. Not at one point did that come and hit, with the exception of, you know, when that Fox News, was it Laura Ingram? I don't know. When that Fox News anchor said to LeBron James, shut up and dribble. And or, you know, if Kobe is talking to a young lady, a teenager, an underage girl, I guess. It is, except when stories like that happen, ESPN never usually talks about those things. And then when it came to 2020 and happened, George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and all the other Black Lives Matter things, and then, you know, Brittany Griner being detained, and that happened a year and a half ago. But but things along those lines, and LGBTQ rights. I mean, it's just gotta. Sometimes they let people go. They let go. Oh God, what is her name? I can see her. Jemele Hill. They let go Jemele Hill. They didn't let other people speak out, and then they overcorrected by firing some people, for saying things that were out of pocket. But then, I'm talking about Rachel Nichols. I don't think they should have fired her. I still think she's a great analyst. But she did say something that was out of pocket about Maria Taylor, which was, Maria and I are friends. We've taken a picture together. We've taken. So ESPN is all that to say is ESPN is definitely on a bout of recovery, and they're still the number one sports platform, the sports cable sports platform. I mean, everything in relation to sports, at least that I see, is going to go back to them. If something happens on at the PGA Tour, who has the clip first? It's always going to be ESPN or the PGA itself on Twitter or whatever. If you get the ESPN app, and I get hits all the time from basketball, golf, NFL, hockey, tennis, and I see it just pop up on the iPad. I don't do it on my phone. It's too much on the phone. I got a text. Oh, it's ESPN. So I just turn it off on the phone. But it is still the biggest sports news thing. News, I don't know, content. I hate saying content. But it's still the biggest sports news platform in the world, and there's a reason why. But now they've taken too long to modernize themselves. They should have been talking about LGBTQ and race and things like that in regards to sports and 10 years ago. And even if it makes the host uncomfortable or if it makes the white male audience uncomfortable, it's got to happen. I don't want to just shift it on the white male audience, because there's a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of people of color who are close-minded as well. But you have to bring the conversation up in order to help push things forward. And it shouldn't take someone dying or someone being assaulted for that to happen. We've got Caitlin Clark. You know, whenever we're talking about a woman prodigy basketball player or soccer star or tennis star, I just think this is amazing. Besides Serena, Jesus. Besides Serena, we never really had that. And now we have women anchors on here who are leading their own shows. We have Mina Kimes doing her thing. We've got, well, Maria's gone. but there are women hosting a Sports Center. Now there's different ways, there's different avenues, podcasts, there's different, when I watch Amazon Prime Video Football, Thursday Night Football, that's what it's called, I guess, Amazon Prime Video. Oh, actually, they hate being called Amazon Prime Video, they like to be called Prime Video, it's very true, got that in the press release. So Prime Video, Thursday Night Football, there's three different commentaries that you can watch with the football. You can watch the regular one, then you can go to a woman-led one, and then you can go to, I don't know, Dude Perfect. I was gonna say Who Those Boys. Dude Perfect. They need to continue to branch out, and they need to do so rapidly, because the streaming is coming for them. Truly, this is something I would have done 5 years ago. ESPN is going to, I can just hear people outside talking. It's so great. I don't know who that was, but it was like he was right next to me. But it's something that needs to happen, and needs to happen rapidly. And whatever steps they need to take, they should need to go ahead and do it. All right, listen, I've talked way too long. Listen, if you like what you heard here, head to the website, cpluscomedy.com, where you can see me talk to your favorite people in the entertainment industry. I'm trying not to say comedians anymore, because it's not just comedians. I talk to everybody. Jeez, the dog just shook. I've got a couple of interviews coming out soon. One that might be audio only, no video, and it is somebody big. And I was like, come on, man. What's going on with the video? It wasn't my fault. We'll talk about that at some point. You can follow us on, if you want to see a video version of this show, head to youtube.com/cpluscomedy, where you can see me do the video interviews as well as video versions of the other podcasts. Late Night Lately, which is the late night show, and LinkedIn Logs, which is the entertainment business. No, wait, this is the entertainment business news show. LinkedIn Logs is the job podcast. TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at cpluscomedy. Me at Chad Black White. Thank you so much for listening. And enjoy this long song, all right? I'm sorry. I haven't figured out how to cut it down. and I tried to re-record it, and then I said, you know what? I said 57 seconds is just enough time for me to talk over and to fade out. Okay, here we go, right now.